This is Talk Is Cheap on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. Okay, this week I play you excerpts from the July 24th protest at Kesey Square. Because it was a bit unique because there are different people there. And then I went to the DNC, and on the first day, the 19th, I got three interviews from various people with some really important, great stuff that is not well known, not being reported, some of which is not being reported. So I always pick up the Financial Times whenever I travel because that's the only way I can get it. And so this is from Friday, the 23rd, August 23rd, 2024, because what I notice is Harris is not doing the right thing with the economy. She's not giving an economic plan at all. And this is what's going to make her lose the election if she's not careful. So, and I just want to make it clear, I'm not supporting, Trump is not going to do any of his campaign promises because he's already been co-opted by the Koch brothers at Al. And so he's not going to do anything. So this is excerpted from this is an article called Gulf Opens Up Between Presidential Candidates Over Stance on Tariffs by Alan Beatty. And I'm going to skip down in the article. In private discussions, Trump has reportedly floated the idea of using tariff income entirely to replace revenue from the federal income tax. It's an idea so stupid you feel it ought to spontaneously to combust on contact with the air. The plan would be literally impossible to implement, given how much tariffs of the requisite size would choke off imports. But at any rate, Trump and Robert Lighthizer, his former trade representative and continuing advisor, are genuine nostalgics for the high tariffs of the 19th century, which they credit for the U.S. rise to economic dominance. Okay, so I'm sorry, but again, not saying vote for Trump, but that's exactly what we should do, is tax corporations and give the money to the poor, especially defense contractors. That's exactly what we should do. And that's what we're, and you're not going to see Harris do that because she's part of a faction of the Democratic Party that has been co-opted by corporations. And you can, this is well documented because labor, they weren't getting enough support, monetary support from labor. So they switched in the late 80s, early 90s, switched over with the Clinton administration to taking money from corporations. So, of course, they do their bidding. So this is all true, but the solution is not to elect an authoritarian, Hitler-esque, Reaganomics president. Okay, just want to make that clear. So skipping down in the article, okay, it also has the virtue of being somewhat accurate. The various academic estimates of the impact of past Trump tariffs on the U.S. economy vary, with at least one finding that the hit was absorbed by companies rather than passed on in prices. But most conclude that U.S. consumers suffered. One estimate of the impact of Trump's 10/60% proposal suggests it would cost less well-off households 3.5% of their after-tax income. Okay, so, like I say, if what's key is for the taxes to go to poor people, the tax revenue that you get from corporations, that needs to go to poor people. And I got to admit, the government tends to, because we have socialism for multinational corporations, the government tends to just give that money to the wealthy. If you listen to this show, you'll hear different versions of that. I'm always constantly commenting on that. So, like I say, yes, tax corporations, but we need to make sure and be ever vigilant and get the government to give that money to the poor. And especially for it not to go to weapons contractors and their shareholders. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. And also, if you want to hear more about that, go to djsusd.com, my website for my presidential campaign, where I'm trying to call attention to the Equal Rights Amendment, which, again, that's what also I'd like to hear Harris talk about, the Equal Rights Amendment and how she's going to stop spending money on war. So, yeah, you can do that. And, again, support independent media. Go to your local open mic nights. If you want to see me, I'm probably going to be at one of the open mic nights. And then coming up also, I have a show on the Uhuru 3. There's a community garden. I have a show on that. And we did Abby Martin that should be on Unique Local Programming. I will probably play that in the future also, as well as all kinds of other fun, wacky stuff. So I hope you'll continue listening and supporting independent media.
I'm looking over a four-leaf clover that I overlooked before. One is for sunshine, the other for rain.
This is from the July 24th pro-Palestinian demo at Kesey Square.
Hey there, everybody. We're going to get this started here a little bit. Part of why we're here today is just sort of get together. I know we've been doing a lot of actions around here in Eugene. I just wanted to sort of have an opportunity to have a little bit more of a chill event, but also to recognize the fact that right now, on the 24th of July, we have Netanyahu over at a joint session of Congress. That'd be the fourth one of his. Yeah. But we here in Eugene have been showing our resistance to this whole genocide that's being done in our name with our tax dollars. I want to read a little bit of a report back about the action that happened on the 15th of April, tax day, couple of months ago now. Yeah, absolutely. Let me do that. All righty. Turning it up a little bit. There we go. So on the morning of Monday, April 15th, community members in Eugene, Oregon, blockaded I-5 in solidarity with an international call to action to shut down economic trade for Palestine. Yeah! Goal of this global solidarity effort was to shut down the economy that funds the ongoing occupation and genocide in Palestine. As a point of note, since that time, that occupation has been deemed in contravention of international law, for whatever that's worth, by the ICC. Anyway, in response to this expression of the First Amendment right, six state agencies, which include the Eugene Police Department, OPD, SPD, Lane County Sheriffs, and the SWAT team along with them, showed up with over 127 officers equipped in riot gear with munitions and chemical weapons on display. Yeah. Various points, pepper gun guns were aimed within lethal distance at people's bodies. 62 arrests were made, and protesters were kept overnight, some for over 30 hours, for this call to end a genocide that has already martyred over 30,000 Palestinians. That was then. Now the estimates are more along the lines of about 120,000, which is catastrophic and inconscionable. While all prisoners everywhere subjected to dehumanizing treatment, we highlight that several trans and gender nonconforming folks were kept in solitary confinement without being presented options, and at least two arrestees were denied access to medications that were on their person with prescription notes at the time of arrest. Shame. That's right. While outrageous that 62 citizens that chose to rebel against this country's complicity with genocide were punished with jail and collective charges, it doesn't compare to what each and every Palestinian is subjected to every day. Our 24 to 32 hours in jail pales next to what political prisoners all around the world experience. For those of us whom this was the first experience in a cage, we reaffirm our commitment to the struggle for Palestinian prisoners and prisoners everywhere, against the police and prisons, against the occupation, against American imperialism, against capitalism, for a better world, the chance for which we will not fail to seize. Yeah. Over 9,500 Palestinians have been in prison since October 7th, including 275 women, 520 children, 66 journalists, and 5,000 plus orders of administrative detention without charges or trial, and at least 16 Palestinian prisoners have died in prison. We, the people of Eugene, unite with the people of the world in this clear demand. We want Palestine to live, and we want Palestine to be free. Yeah. All right. I know that JVP would like to say a few words. So if y'all are ready, I'd like to invite you on up to speak. Yeah, thank you.
Hi. I would be so excited to get a stand in a tiny patch of shade, maybe. Hold on. Does this work? No, that doesn't work. Okay. How about right here? Can you hear me? Okay. My name's Story Anna. I'm one of the A15 defendants. I'm also a working class queer Mizrahi Jew organizing with Jewish Voice for Peace. Jews have historically fought Zionism long before the creation of the settler colonial state of Israel. From the uprisings in the ghettos of Vilna to the protests of the first Zionist congresses in the 19th century, we Jews have taken up many fights for a just collective future. Our ancestors would be proud of our comrades here today who have made sacrifices to upend business as usual in this ongoing colonial project. Our Palestinian political prisoner comrades have been stripped of their rights before they were even locked up. In their name, we challenge ourselves to continue the fight against the global carceral state. When we say free all political prisoners worldwide, taking to the highway to disrupt business as usual and to say not in our name, alongside allies across many struggles against colonialism, demonstrates a ferocity and a hunger for a world without borders, cages, and walls. A world where we can all be creative together, vision together, and destroy and rebuild a beautiful creative vision that we conjure together in these actions against violent settler colonial states. During this time of uprising, we're looking at a hot iron ready to strike, to bend toward a new direction, one mapped by the many successful struggles for justice around the globe. Land back and nothing else. Reparations and nothing else. The right of return and nothing else. Our Palestinian comrades have gone so many generations without seeing the world rise up in solidarity with them. Now is the time to ramp up and double our efforts. The U.S. and Israel expect a focus shift with the upcoming election bullshit. We will not back down from putting pressure on Zionism and capitalism and colonialism until it remains only a relic and a stain on history. And today, a national day of solidarity with our comrades in Washington, D.C., Jews who are protesting Netanyahu's invitation and visit, we say no to war criminals. We call on all to boycott, support BDS sanctions from Israeli and American apartheid, from the river to the sea. May it be so in our lifetime.
Oh, thank you so much. That was excellent. Who else do we have that would like? We have PSL, if you'd like to come on up. or any org. Yeah, go for it. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. My name is Kaylee. I'm a local organizer, and I just wanted to give a quick plug. We are going to be hosting a film screening of Gaza Fights for Freedom, a free film screening. Woo! It's great. On Thursday, August 8th at 6 p.m. at the Eugene Art House. The screening is going to be followed by a virtual Q&A with the director, journalist, Abby Martin of the Empire Files. So we're really excited about it. We'd love to have you all there. Join us. It's free. Again, that's August 8th at 6 p.m. And if you want more info, you can come find me after. So thanks so much. Free Palestine.
I'd love to have people talking other than me. Anybody else would like to come up here? Say a couple words. Okay. Come on up. Thank you.
Hey, guys. So my name is Jetty. I do a lot of work with the in-house folks. And I want you guys to, like, think about the way that they're moving the people in Palestine over and over and over, and the trauma responses and all that that they're causing with them. They're doing that here to the people that are living on the streets, trying to survive. They are, like, coming out, like, five times in 1 week. They've moved one camp, group of people. It's bullshit, and they're using these same tactics on the people here, right? Like, we need people to stand up for them, and, like, it's a hard fight, but it's what they're doing right now to the people here. Right now, we have people having heart palpitations, people having mental health crises. Like, I'm not sick. This is my voice. I'm living out with these people, and, like, I'm tired. This is bullshit. And the way that they're going around and harassing them and taking their shit, there's people, like, who had years worth of living supplies, right? And now they're down to one suitcase. What the EPD is doing to these people is gross. And so we need to, like, put it all together, right? It's all one struggle. So.
I just have a couple words. To everyone who claims to be a human rights activist but are against Israel, freedom for Palestine is a human right.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to say a couple of things. One is, I mean, some of you may have followed it on the news, but on the East Coast, where Netanyahu was the invited guest of the U.S. Congress, about one of the few places on earth where he would be welcome and would receive applause. But activists, thousands of them, tens of thousands of them, you know, demonstrated right outside, blocked intersections, and made sure that people around the world knew that Netanyahu was not welcome in the U.S. And in fact, one thing has changed. I know a couple of people have mentioned that already. It's important mentioning that the movement to defend Palestine and against the Zionist apartheid state of Israel has grown significantly. Used to be, even in big cities, pro-Palestine demonstrations would be 50, 100, 200 people. Now it's thousands, tens of thousands. Netanyahu himself had to acknowledge the demonstrations. He called people like us useful idiots for Iran, something like that. It's Netanyahu. Being insulted by Netanyahu is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. But the point is that they can't go on ignoring what's happening in the streets. And a number of the people who spoke at the podium mentioned this. And, you know, it kind of reminded me again that this is very true nowadays, is that a majority of the Americans support the ceasefire. Even a majority of the Republicans support the ceasefire. And yet our Congress, our president, our government continues applauding the Israeli government. Shame, shame. Netanyahu has gone to one of the few places on earth where he can be welcome. He's committed genocide. We're getting close to a year, and every day hundreds of Palestinians are being killed, and the world knows it. And this is something that the Zionist state of Israel cannot get back up from. I know it's painful for all of us. We've been in the streets, and we keep turning on the news and hearing more and more Palestinians being killed every day. But I want to tell you my friends, my fellow activists, things have changed. Our actions around the country, around the world, has had a major impact. Israel can no longer commit its crimes in the dark like it has done the last 75 years. One other point I want to make, and it's very, very important. Everyone here knows it, but I think it's important to point it out when we talk to people, is that there's a reason that Netanyahu has gone to the one country in the world that where the government welcomes it. And that is that it's not just that the U.S. government supports Israel. Israel is an arm of U.S. imperialism. Israel is an outpost for the U.S. Israel has done a lot of service for the U.S. Israel has done its share to suppress progressive and revolutionary movements in the Arab world. Israel has earned its place for U.S. imperialism to get the money, to get the support. And for that reason, it's not enough to think of wanting the U.S. to stop supporting Israel. It's understanding how intertwined U.S. imperialism is to the Zionist state of Israel. So when we are active against the state of Israel, when we're active against Zionism, we are in effect active against U.S. imperialism. And that, if we have any concerns for the U.S. working class, for the oppressed people in the U.S. and elsewhere, that's a must. We must struggle against U.S. imperialism and all of its arms, including the Zionist state of Israel. Thank you.
Very well said. I love it. All right. We got a couple other speakers. Anybody? Oh, yeah, yeah. Come on up. Thank you. Thank you.
I love all you people so much. I posted an editorial on the Eugene Weekly last week, and I've been noticing these passages that are very commonly repeated now in 2024. These are new, and almost every speaker recognizes now that we are dealing with a global imperialist system that is dominating everybody in the world and funneling up all the power and wealth up to a tiny 0.01%. And so you hear words in every talk about capitalism, about oppression, about a plutocracy. And now I've got a couple of more good clips from today for saying the same thing. So keep up the good work. I've been doing this for 50 years. And in 2074, most of you are going to be doing the same thing. Because.
Yeah. Thank you. Eric, I see that glint in your eye. You want to come up? All right. Here you go, sir.
Hey, everybody. I love you guys. In Palestine, Zorta checkpoint before Birzeit was one of the worst. It was just a bunch of trenches cut across the road. You would have to leave a taxi, walk a mile down a valley, cross broken ground, and up the valley another mile. It was so isolated that Israeli soldiers would do all kinds of sick shit to people and vandalize hundreds of parked cars. I have a clear memory of an Israeli punching the muzzle of his M16 through the windshields of 50 Palestinian cars one afternoon. Thousands of people had to cross the checkpoint every day. When the Israeli soldiers decided they wanted to stop traffic, they would just show up, shooting guns everywhere and firing tear gas. A few minutes later, after people scrambled for their lives, they would have to approach the soldiers and present their IDs to cross the impromptu checkpoint. The average wait time to cross was 3 hours. I was crossing one day, and a tank showed up and tried to drive hundreds of people before it up the steep valley road. People rushed to get out of the way as the tank bore down on us. But the tank slowed and came to a stop. An old woman in traditional Palestinian dress and wielding a cane was standing her ground against the tank. She cursed the tank. Oh, she cursed that tank with such vitriol that a nearby shepherd grimaced at hearing the torrent. Suddenly we all stopped in hushed reverence at what we were witnessing. No longer did we run, but as the old woman labored up the steep valley road, cursing with every step and periodically turning around for an extra shake of her cane at the tank, we matched her slow, elderly pace. Eventually, it was as if the tank was a huge, dumb beast that she was leading by the nose and berating for requiring any measure of her attention or labor. The tank stopped its pursuit of the old woman and the crowd. Its terror vanished, its power gone. Every other day, one would witness an individual act of near Shakespearean defiance by the Palestinians. Moments when people said, enough, no matter the consequences. Often many around felt the same way and could not deny such actions. There is a concept called the courage of the first follower. It considers that the second person standing up may be more courageous than the one who first stood alone. All I can say is that when a moment of truth occurs, it is undeniable. As such moments unfold, courage is a word that can hardly contain or describe people's collective response. I've almost died on a couple of journeys through Zorta checkpoint, but on that day, an old Palestinian woman took away my fear.
Powerful stuff. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Shakar. I'm with JVP. Thanks. Eric was talking about courage, and I can't help but think of the Houthis. And let's give it up for the Houthis. They are the first to hit the center of the Zionist entity, Tel Aviv. Hezbollah has changed the game in the north. The Houthis have changed the game in the south. Eilat is a ghost town. So the armed resistance is real, and it's out there, and they're working really hard. And I just want to just mention them and bring them out here, and long live the resistance. Thank you. Free Palestine!
For KPW News, I'm DJ SSD.
All right, I'm here at the Palestinian demonstration in Chicago, and there's a man here with a sign that says, my vote will not be, for Israel or BlackRock Iraq wars. So how is BlackRock financing the wars in Gaza?
Well, like a lot of Wall Street and investment banking, BlackRock is financing the military-industrial complex and helping in the funding of the different armature that's finding its way to Gaza. And I'm just out here because, I think it's more of a moral and ethical dilemma that we have here. And we're seeing a genocide live. And nothing that Western society has seen before. And I'm just here to show my solidarity, I really lose sleep at night. I've seen the images, and And I'm really upset about the complacency, and especially with the Democratic Party and how they take money from AIPAC and pretty much have infiltrated our government. And so I'm really opposed to that.
Biden has had a long-standing relationship with AIPAC.
Well, he considers himself a Zionist, and I think this goes deeper than Biden, you know, because, you know, he obviously hasn't been, commander-in-chief for a long time. There's just no way a man with dementia is capable of that, and I consider this... elder abuse, and if Kamala happens to win the office, I don't think we're going to see any change. I just think we're going to see more of the same, and the Israeli lobby is going to be making a lot of policy decisions. And one of the things that I'm fearful, and again, I'm 64 years old, so, you know, I may or may not see it, but I believe that the world is imploding, and I just think Israel makes the world a dangerous place right now, and I think that World War III is already in play.
Very dangerous, close situation. On BlackRock, though, boycott and divestment and sanctions, though, is not anti-Semitic to be. And here's something you can do with your dollars. You can vote with your dollars and get your
Pensions
out of these institutional investors. Anything on that?
I've been supporting BDS for a long time, and as we have witnessed what's happening with Starbucks, for an example, how their profits have just dropped, and their chief executive officer has just stepped down, and I think that illustrates that it works.
It works.
Yeah.
And so the UN. Biden has a plan for a peace plan that's going on in the UN. Is any of that going to work, or is that? And Netanyahu is not acknowledging the Palestinian Authority, and he's stopping every step that we take to try to get a UN international force in there to shut the whole thing down and get humanitarian aid in there.
Well, I think it's smoke and mirrors, you know, because
the election.
Yes, and actually the peace negotiations. You know, why would you assassinate the head negotiator if you were interested in that? And it's also a reminder of some of the other foreign policy that. The U.S. is engaged in with the proxy war in the Ukraine. I don't think there's any interest to have any negotiations, and I think, as long as the military-industrial complex, or if you want to call it war profiteering, benefits from this, I don't think you're going to see any peace. I think you're only going to see more escalation.
When we pass a military budget in a week, but because I notice a lot of this is revolving around similar to the Poor People's Campaign, that we want this money spent on the poor rather than on the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, well, the poor and the working poor and the middle class, I mean, we've all been impacted by this, by the rise of fuel costs and inflation, which, again, I heard Kamala Harris part of her platform is you know, to put caps on, you know, certain goods and services. But again, how are they going to do that? You know, when you know these multi-international corporations. You know, are the major donors of the Democrat Party.
Right, no tax for, she doesn't say anything about taxing multinational corporations.
No.
More.
No, and I guess since probably even before then, since 1979, you know, the purchasing power of most Americans, you know, has really dwindled, you know, as inflation has gone up and but wages haven't gone up. And I, you know, I come from a working class background. I've been fortunate in many ways, but, you know, but when I've witnessed a lot of suffering, you know, in recent years.
Well, yeah, I'm 62. I've watched the same thing. My wages haven't gone up, and they just give corporations. It's basically state-sponsored corporate tax.
Oh yeah, well it's you know, socialism for corporations, but you have to pull your bootstraps up if you're the working poor, and interesting, you know, in terms of you know, my personal biography, I feel like I had you know, more ability to purchase things when I you know, had three jobs in high school. You know, in terms of, you know, how the wages have really declined.
All right, I'm trying to wrap it up, but I got one more thing. Is you're talking about Ukraine, and you seem to know, you remember Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Yes.
And his whole plan, what I'm reading, there was a book called The Grand Chessboard, where all this in Russia follows their plan that Biden and Clinton have been a part of this the whole time.
Well, and I don't mean to sound conspiracy, but also George Soros with the Open Society Foundation, and he's made a lot of his fortune off of you know, his inside information on what's going to happen in the former Eastern Bloc countries.
And we just keep selling weapons to both Israel, and they just $20 million just went last week, I think, and well, to Ukraine too.
Yeah, well, we have trillions of dollars, you know, unaccountable for in the Department of Defense.
Yeah. Afghanistan and. All right, anything else? Did you want to give your name? It's okay if you don't want to give your name.
No, that's okay. My name's Dennis Dodson. I just moved from Santa Fe, New Mexico to Los Angeles, and I just wanted to be here, you know, around like-minded people.
So you came here all the way from Los Angeles?
Yes, I mean, I had a reason to be here, but I definitely planned for it. You know, I rode Amtrak out here.
Right on. Yeah. All right, thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so you said you're with Police Accountability. Is there an organization you want to...
Yes, my name is Eric Russell, the American activist. I'm the president and founder of the Tree of Life Justice League. We're a police accountability organization that advocates for families whose loved ones have been brutalized, tortured, and murdered by police.
And so what about, how are the Chicago police treating people in Chicago?
In Chicago, they continue to violate the civil rights of black and brown people consistently. Despite in Chicago, we do have Chicago police is presently under a federal consent decree. Even when it comes to adhering to the benchmarks, the Chicago police have only adhered to less than 50% of the scheduled benchmarks for real police reform, transparency, and accountability here in Chicago.
And if we spent that money on social programs, would we need police, so much police?
Well, I don't...
The money we spend on police.
Well, taxpayers here in Chicago, the amount we're spilling hundreds of millions of dollars in police misconduct cases. And what we believe is that most police-involved shootings, 40% of police-involved shootings involve a mental crisis or a mental episode. So we are a firm believer if that some of the police budget here in Chicago, which is close to $3 billion, if that was allocated for social services and other programs, we think that that would go a long way towards curbing police misconduct here in Chicago.
And how much time do they spend on moving the homeless and pushing the homeless out? Is that a big program here?
They spend a lot of, one of the big, the homeless population has only gotten complicated here now in Chicago with the influx of immigrants. You know, traditionally we have a lot of the homeless population that is sort of up under the bridges and in other places. And we have an actual tent city here that was, a lot of the homeless was just displaced and just no respect for the humanity of people.
And it gets cold here in Chicago. What about the winter?
The winters, the shelters here in Chicago, they fill up very fast. And thank God for the compassion of the citizens of Chicago. There are so many ministries. What we do, we bring hot meals out, we bring tents out, we bring heaters out, and we just try to help them brave the Chicago winter as best we can. And then we're not naive about it, but we do respect and understand that a portion of the homelessness is about mental illness and addiction. So we try to add that component to it also when it comes to helping people.
But I mean, the police don't help out with that. They're more of a hindrance than a help in that.
Definitely, with the influx here in Chicago, we had a unique situation where the immigrants were actually staying at the police stations, literally laying on the floor until about a couple of months ago. And so the police are the force that helped to remove them, and heavy-handedly, I might say, as well.
All right, and so you're at a Palestinian demonstration. What's the relationship between Palestine and the police conduct here in Chicago?
Well, we all support one another. We're all comrades on the front line, and no matter whatever you're advocating for, is that we believe that civil rights, even in my lane, civil rights is human rights. And war is very ugly. And the casualties of war, you know, and it just goes back to what we just got through talking about. We have money for war, but we can't feed the poor.
And they pass a military budget in a week, but they can't pass a homeless bill
to just feed those in need. America's priorities are just screwed up.
But is there a correlation, though, between the way we treat Palestinians in Gaza, the way we're moving, the way they move off the people in Gaza, and the way the homeless people here?
You know, the coalition is people of color. You know, the melanin in their skin, you know, globally, with the rise of white supremacy, and those who want to globally dominate the world see brown-skinned people as less than and expendable. We understand that this war has been going on for hundreds of years, but part of that, there is a racial component to the war in Palestine. And we would be remiss in our responsibility if we did not recognize that.
Where does the money go, though, that the money that we spend on war in Gaza and here, who ends up with that money?
Well, you know, usually when you track the money, you know, it is difficult. There are some very good watchdog groups in our activist community that kind of keeps an eye on that, because it's hard to discern truly where that money goes, because a portion of it is humanitarian aid, a portion of it is about weapons, and then a portion of it is about politics and transportation. So it's a hard track.
But you and I, the average Joe doesn't see that money that goes to defense, that goes to weapons contractors.
No. And we pay, and we're paying for it. So can you imagine spending money and not know where you spend it? That's the cross we have to bear as American citizens when we support something based on politics that we truly, when there's no transparency.
All right, so I see your shirt with, that says New Orleans, stop supporting Israel.
Stop helping Israel support.
So what is that? Is that an organization that you're with?
Yes, we're an organization based out of New Orleans, and we largely target the Port of New Orleans. They ship lots and lots of weapons through our ports, and so our organization was started shortly after October, and we've been targeting the port.
And so what, more so than the West Coast, is New Orleans a fair weather port? I mean, they do this year round.
Yeah, it's a big port. It's a lot of, like, money too, that a lot of the economy in New Orleans is from the port as well.
Right. So, and are there defense contractors based in New Orleans? Or?
Yes, there are. Or in the area. Textron is about like 45 minutes outside of New Orleans in a wildlife reservation area. And Textron does weapons. And then...
Right, so are they messing up the environment in that site?
Yeah, so it's very interesting and complicated. They're stationed in the swamp, in the poor swamp where poor folks live, because of, you know, the housing crisis. They end up in less ideal conditions, and that's where a lot of weapons manufacturers are operating and whatnot. Maersk is a logistics company. The Palestine Youth Movement has a campaign against Maersk, and No Ship, New Orleans Stop Helping Israel's Ports, have partnered with them on that. Maersk is working on establishing their own terminal about 30 minutes to an hour outside of New Orleans to do their own shipping outside of the Port of New Orleans. So the Port of New Orleans is government owned, and Maersk is working on basically starting up a private port.
And so they're displacing people to put for this new facility?
I'm not quite sure. They're still working out the contracts. We've been trying to get more information, but the last we heard was that they wouldn't send us like contracts or documents or anything because it's confidential until everything is like established and the project is established and started. So, we're doing a lot of kind of looking at little pieces and trying to bring them together and find their connections and how it all works together.
But what they're citing, national security, is why they're not disclosing this stuff, or it's just a business decision that they...
It seemed like a business decision, and, yeah.
So what can people do to stop this or help No Ship?
So we have been going to... There's actually a lot going on at our port. I just mentioned one thing. So the Port of New Orleans established the quote-unquote innovation embassy with the Port of Ashdod in Israel, basically establishing like a relationship of information exchange and whatnot. And so one big thing that we do is we're working on getting the Port of New Orleans to back out of that deal. So we go to monthly board meetings at the port and pressure them to stop sending money to Israel, stop sending weapons to Israel, and end their contract with Israel, or their agreement with the Port of Ashdod.
This is a government organization, not a and a private organizations are doing this.
Yeah.
Are sending, okay.
Yeah, so there's...
And the meetings you're with are with the government organization, the Port Authority?
It's with the port board members who are
give permits.
Basically nominated by the governor. Uh-huh. So it is governmental. Yeah.
But they issue permits to private companies to send weapons back and forth.
Yes.
And so what is on the other end, though, in Israel? What is that, a nonprofit on that end? An activist organization?
No. I mean, we don't really know what's up in Ashdod. We haven't established that yet.
So the port board, this board is
the New Orleans board
that is dealing with the people in to facilitate the weapons transfer.
Yes,
they're dealing with people in the Middle East.
Yes, and there's a lot of pieces, like I said. So, you know, we're targeting the Port of New Orleans. On the other hand, I mentioned Maersk earlier. The International Longshoremen's Association, that is the union for port workers, really. And they also have their own issues with Maersk because Maersk is automating a lot of jobs. People are losing their jobs. So we're also working on establishing a relationship with the union and talking to them and figuring out how we can work together to support their demands when we're going to the board and also target Maersk and the port in general.
Because they're the ones that load the...
Yeah, they load it. So they don't know... They get, like, codes, basically. They don't know what the codes mean. They don't know what's in the shipping containers. But we know that. We've figured that out. So, yeah, we're working on establishing that relationship right now.
What about the Teamsters? They have to. Don't they use trucks to truck the stuff to the port?
Oh, I'm not that far, actually. I'm not sure about that, but that's a good point. I'll bring that up to my folks.
Right. Well, anything else?
We're kind of leading the BDS movement in New Orleans. We were started by Palestinians. We support the Palestinian resistance and.
There specific companies that you can boycott from New Orleans?
Maersk and Textron. I mean, kind of the names we know about.
Those are major trucking companies.
There's logistics companies, transportation and whatnot, and then there's the weapons manufacturers.
Well, so maybe Amazon can stop using Maersk.
Right, and that's a huge thing about Maersk, right? If Maersk and other logistics companies, if those didn't exist, we wouldn't have Amazon. And so, I don't know, I feel like for me it's kind of hard to wrap my head around everything, but when I think about it that way, as like, oh, they're doing all the shipping, like, then I'm like, oh, okay, yeah.
Well, because I used to work as a truck driver for 8 years, and that, your logistics is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You can switch trucking companies and use a different trucking company, use a different logistics company. Again, what can people do to help you and support?
Follow us on Instagram @_noship. Stay up to date with what we're doing. You know, we're in a coalition in New Orleans, so we do a lot of just general organizing work for the pro-Palestine movement.
Are you linked with the West Coast? You know, because back then there was a group that blocked the railroad to the port of Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
So are you guys connected with the port of Los Angeles anyway?
We're connected.
And do weapons come out of there, I assume?
Yeah, so it's a little, that's where the different pieces are. So one of my friends who was over here earlier is with both NoShip and PYM, Palestinian Youth Movement. So we're working together on that stuff. PYM has a larger relationship to other cities and has those contacts, and we're doing more of like the research side and digging.
And it's New Orleans Stop
Helping Israel's ports.
So NoShip.
Our Instagram is _NoShip.
_NoShip.
Yes. And I think that's the best way to stay up to date. A lot of our campaigns are newish, so we're still establishing, we're still doing a lot of that primary research.
Really important.
Yeah, no, I agree. Right,
this is incredible what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
More people need to know about it.
Yeah, I would say follow us on Instagram. There's definitely global ways to support this movement and targeting the ports I mean, if you're in a port city in general, start your own nose ship or find the folks that are doing their version. I think San Francisco has like Block the Boat or something.
Brought to you by Gluteus Maximus Excon Cranium. Do you still think women and people of color are inferior? Do you think corporations care about people and the environment? Do you think George Bush doesn't know the lyrics to the Horse Vessel song? You may be suffering from terminal ignorance. Made from 100% Amanita mushrooms, Gluteus Maximus Excon Cranium actually removes the brain plaque associated with terminal ignorance. Pick up some today before it's too late. Side effects are compassion, forgiveness, and hysterical laughter.